Happy Halloween! Lamont, I love your costume.
Costume? I'm not wearing a costume.
Oh.
I'm Lamont, and today I feel a little spooky.
And I'm Leia. I always feel a little spooky.
And you're tuning into
the Lamont and Leia podcast.
So today, Leia, it's story time with Leia.
Yes, it is. It's also Halloween today. So happy Halloween to those who, I guess, celebrate Halloween, and happy podcast day to those who don't.
This is Halloween, Halloween, Halloween.
Lamont, you don't really celebrate Halloween, or what's going on with that now?
Yeah, like, not really. It's been a struggle, you know, growing up Adventist. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you haven't checked out that episode, you should totally check out that episode. But yeah, so growing up Adventist, not really being allowed to celebrate, not really being allowed to dress up. Mm-hmm. In my early 20s, when I started dating the first guy I fell in love with, he was really into Halloween. So like, I gave over, and it was fun for a little bit. And I tried a couple of things here and there. I've gone to different parties here and there. Mm-hmm. And I have a couple of costumes, nothing like outrageous or crazy, but it's just not something I really enjoy, like other people, how other people enjoy it, like stuff.
Yeah.
It's a cool holiday. I had to tell myself, like, just because I'm dressing up doesn't mean I'm giving into the devil's holiday or something like that. Again, programming from growing up. So.
Yeah, I love Halloween, but I have always just really been into like dressing up and costuming and making stuff. So it was never like, even though I wasn't allowed to celebrate it when we became Seventh-day Adventists, I would still do stuff like every single year. I couldn't wear my costume, but my high school conveniently had Spirit Week around Halloween, so it was always really fun because we'd get to dress up anyway. I think that was their way of like mitigating participation in Halloween, but also allowing whatever. Yeah. I think October can be a very creative month. I feel like there's some type of astrological science behind that. I haven't looked into it myself, but I feel like every October is very creative and busy for me.
Yeah, like it's harvest, right? So like you're harvesting the crops. All the work that you've produced is now bountiful. Mm-hmm. You're benefiting for the labors of your work.
Yeah, I would love to do a whole Halloween like history episode. Maybe I'll do that for my YouTube one day, or maybe we'll do it for the podcast. I don't know. Not this year, but maybe next year, because Halloween does have some very interesting stories, and it goes really far past the whole it's the devil holiday thing. And in a lot of cultures, there are days similar to Halloween, all around the same time, that deal with spirits, spirituality, past ancestors, even in Hawaiian culture. I'm not telling one of those stories today, but one day. But speaking of stories, maybe we should get started.
Yeah.
Okay. So today I am telling a story that takes place on the beautiful island of Maui. And that is like the middle island. I think it's in the middle. Yeah, it's like in the middle-ish. So it's an island chain and Maui's like in the middle. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I think we probably talked about this before, but was the name Maui like for Disney's Moana like comes from like the islands? Like,
So there is a story of a man named Maui. Well, he was a demigod. So pretty much the guy in Moana is based off of the story legend of the man Maui.
Okay.
So he's a real guy. I don't know if he looks or sounds like The Rock, but I mean, it's good imagery. very interesting tales if you do want to look those up. They're really fun. And he's considered like the Superman of the Pacific. And you will actually see stories of Maui in different cultures all across the Pacific and Oceania. So it's like a shared tale, and everyone has like their own versions of everything, but it's all Maui. but yes, the island is named for him, after him. I'll get back on that because I can't really remember if that is the case. But yes, today we are taking place on the island of Maui in the town called Kahului. I don't remember what
that was in Moana too, wasn't it?
Kahului?
Wasn't that her village's name? No, I think it was Manalui.
No. I think it was Tapa Nui? Rapa Nui? Not Rapa Nui. Moana. Now we're going to look it up. Sidetracked. Where did Moana? Motunui. Which is really funny because Motu means rock. Nui means big. Big rock.
Okay. All right, so what's the town called again?
Kahului. Okay, so Maui, Kahului. A woman named Louise. Now, Louise is a single mother. She has three children. And she rented a house. And, you know, she had turned one of the rooms into kind of like an office, sewing room, workspace for herself. But then Miss Louise got pregnant. So she had to take her office and convert it into a nursery. So, you know, a little baby. So she sets up her nursery and she has her baby and life is all fine and dandy, you know? But there was something about this room. Made her a little uneasy. But she was just thinking, maybe it's a draft, you know, maybe because it's where it's located in the house. Not a big deal. Baby seems fine. You know, there's nothing crazy going around. The room's safe, so whatever. Baby nursery. But, you know, they would notice that sometimes the baby would be, like, laughing and, you know, how babies do. Goo goo gaga. Ba 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 ba. Yeah. Talking all nonsense or whatever. And giggling when no one was in there. You know, baby was supposed to be put down for a nap. Baby was giggling and laughing. And there's like, okay. She's a happy baby, right?
Right.
And grandma would be like, don't worry about it, Louise. It's the angels talking to the baby. You know how grandmas do. Angel. Yeah, so the angels are talking to the baby. The baby's just a happy little girl. And she's in her room being naughty by not taking a nap, but whatever. Didn't really think anything of it. But, you know, her son had a friend. And, you know, he would come over every once in a while. And, you know, he would always make comments about the bedroom, like the nursery, and just be like, man, your sister's room is weird. Like, it's creepy. And they're just like, what do you mean it's creepy? Like, who are you to be saying that my baby's room is creepy? You're creepy.
Exactly. Like, what?
So they just thought it was, like, a weird thing for this kid to say. They didn't think anything of it. Kids are kids, right? And they're about, like, middle school age. So those kids are all kolohe, all, you know, troublesome anyway. Yeah. They like to make trouble.
Between the ages of 11 and 13?
Yeah, so they're all still pretty young. So, you know, no one's thinking of it. The baby's happy. The room is fine. And so life goes on. And every once in a while, you know, mom would be in there putting baby to sleep and she'd stay in there a little too long and she would end up falling asleep, like in the chair in the corner or something.
Like mothers do.
Yeah, like most mothers do. So it wasn't a big deal. She's like, I've slept in there. Nothing's wrong. I guess we're all just imagining things, you know? So eventually, baby is old enough that she gets her own bed. So they set up the bed in the room. They replace the crib. And it's all nice and everything's still fine. Happy baby.
Happy baby.
Yeah. So one night, you know, as usual mothers would do, she's in there putting baby to sleep. And mom falls asleep on the bed while reading. Okay, so mom, Miss Louise, mom is sleeping, baby sleeping, no big deal. And then it's like she's sleeping and she feels something. And so mom tries to wake up and she can't move. And she feels like something's crushing her. And so of course she's freaking out. She's like, what the hell is this? What is going on? And she feels like there's so much weight like crushing down on her chest. And she, you know, she freaks out. She like starts screaming, but she feels like there's no sound coming out. Like all the air is being pressed out of her body. And then it just stops. And mom is like, what? What just happened? I don't know.
Sleep paralysis?
Maybe. I don't know. She looks over. Baby's fine. Baby unbothered. Baby sleeping. So she gets up and she's like, okay, I don't understand what's going on. I'm gonna go to bed. Baby is fine. There's nothing wrong with baby, so I'm gonna go. So mom goes to sleep. And you know, this starts really weighing on her. And so finally she calls a friend and she's like, hey, this is what happens. And, you know, everyone thinks this room is creepy. What do I do? And her friend's like, you know, you should call, you know, a kahu or a priest. And you should get the room blessed just in case. You don't know. Maybe there's something weird in there. So she calls up some people to come get the house blessed. And there's three men that come. I don't know their names, unfortunately. But three men come and they walk around the house and they look around.
I got it. Rock, Dwayne, and Johnson.
Rock, Dwayne, and Johnson come over. All right. Anyway, so Rock, Dwayne, and Johnson come over and they're walking around the house and they're looking at everything and, you know, they're praying over things and blessing things as priests do when they come in and bless things. And so they, after they're done, they congregate in like the living room and they're just talking kind of like what they felt, what they did, have another final prayer and everything. And they go, so the baby's room definitely has some spiritual activity. And Miss Louise is like, excuse me, what?
Is Miss Louise white?
I don't know.
Okay.
But Miss Louise is like, And they're like, yeah, but like, don't worry. Don't worry. And she's like, what do you mean don't worry? What do you mean spiritual activity? And they're like, okay, we'll explain. We'll explain. So your house is built on an old pathway that an ancient Hawaiian tribe used to use. It was like their main pathway that they would use to get from their village, which they lived in the mountains, that they would take to get down to the ocean to fish. And they're just like, baby's room is right on that pathway, but only part of the room. So what's been happening is this ancient tribe, and they're not a dangerous tribe. They're just your average guys that used to live in Hawaii. They're not like headhunters. They're not, we have something out here called, what is it called? One second. Okay. They weren't headhunters. They weren't night marchers. We have that out here, which is a whole other story. But they're essentially harmless. They're just going about their day, going from their village, going to get food down at the ocean. And they love your baby. And she's like, what do you mean they love my baby? Are they going to eat my baby? And they're like, no, they've grown really fond of her. And they really, like, they stop by on their way down to the ocean and they say hi to her. Talking with the angels. And so they love your baby. And so, you know, eventually, you know, they leave and, you know, that kind of dwells on mom. They're like, okay, well, the spirits aren't hurting her. They like her. I guess.
No.
Cool. No problem.
No. I don't even freaking know. I was right. I'm like, we're moving right away where there's no pathway.
But, like, I guess in Hawaiian culture, that's not too far of a thing. Like, they're just, like, they pretty much adopted this baby as part of their family. And in Hawaiian culture, your ancestors' spirits protect you. And so the fact that they love this baby is kind of a good thing. Because so, you know, when baby's asleep at night, she's safe in the mind of Hawaiian culture. So, you know, eventually down the line, baby starts to sleep in mom's room. Because babies do that.
Okay. You know, like toddlers.
You crawl into bed with mom and, you know, no big deal. And mom didn't think anything of it. She's like, cool, no problem. Come cuddle with me. And one night, baby's in the room and they're just sitting there. And all of a sudden they get like a cold feeling. And they're just like, what is this? So they kind of have this feeling like there was something in the doorway, right? Mm-hmm. And they didn't know exactly what, because they don't see anything, but they get this like ominous feeling from the doorway. And, you know, they're just like, is this the spirits? Uh-oh. I thought the priest said that they were nice.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she was sharing with her friend that she had told before, like, hey, we have spirits and I don't know what's going on. And, you know, she was telling this story to her friend, and her friend was just like, oh no, they definitely missed the baby. And he goes, these spirits, they walk the same path every single day, like day in, day out. That's what they do. It's kind of like just how spirits are after they die. They follow the same paths. And so this path always has your daughter. And, you know, you've now interrupted their schedule. They're not happy about it. They miss your baby. They want to see her again. And so baby started sleeping in her room again. And it was fine. Nothing ever happened again. And baby was still happy, and they would hear her giggling and talking to who knows who. I also want to point out that, you know, the spirits can't deviate from their path. They can't, like, go off somewhere else, which is probably why they just felt the, ominous presence through the door, because the spirits couldn't come in and check in on the baby. Mm. And if you think about it in, like, a very human sort of way, if you're, like, an uncle, you want to know how your niece is doing. And I think that's what they were trying to get at, is like these spirits have essentially like adopted this child as a part of their family, and they want to know that she's okay. So, okay. You know, mom felt good putting baby back into the room, knowing that this was pretty much her other family now. And, you know, they weren't too freaked out by the room anymore, because they, like, knew what was going on. So they're, like, chill. They're like, all right, that's fine. That's just our other family saying hi to our child. You don't look very pleased by this, LaWatt.
I'm struggling here. I'm struggling to suppress my program Christian belief.
But yeah, so eventually baby grew up, you know, she moved rooms or something, maybe one of the boys moved out or whatever, but you know, they talk to the girl and she's happy and she's healthy, and every once in a while she's like jibber jabbering to herself and giggling, and they're just like, oh, cute. I guess she's just being a little baby, and you know, they're just like, okay, we gotta go in now, and she goes, hold on, I have to say bye to my friends. And you know, everyone assumes like, oh, cute, she has imaginary friends, but mom's just like, no, I'm pretty sure my baby has another family, and she's saying bye to her new cousins.
Oh my gosh, mom's really chill with this.
But yeah, that is the story of Miss Louise and her baby and her new spirit family.
Oh, Leia, so I don't know, like, growing up, I was taught, like, spirits are bad. You don't delve into that side. That's very demonic. Because there's no such thing as spirits. There's only, like, demons pretending to be spirits. So, I'm just like, ah! But hey, like, you and I, we've kind of talked about maybe possibly getting a psychic on. Because we as people of the world kind of see like multiple ways. Like, we're not just like, this is the only way to be, right?
Yeah.
So even though it scares me, again, that's probably the programming on the inside. Like, I'm curious to, like, get someone on to see how they do their work and see how it correlates even in my life.
Right? Yeah.
So.
But, yeah,
that's... Do you think the child became a medium?
I don't know. Maybe. I should look her up. but yeah, actually, I got this story from the book called Chicken Skin, True Spooky Stories of Hawaii. And this story was by Louise Aloy. Yeah, Louise Aloy from Maui. True story, according to her and her daughter, Brianna. I mean, I guess I could look them up, but that'd be a little creepy, right? But yeah, so in regards to what you were talking about, the one thing that I really enjoyed learning about my culture was how spiritual it is. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Hawaiian culture pre-Christianity, pre-Christian influence or Catholic influence or Mormon influence or whatever, it is of the belief that there, like, everything has a spirit, everything has its own life, mana, power, whatever. So the idea that there are only evil spirits and only demons doesn't really fit into that. If everything has a spiritual power, that's been really comforting to me, because, you know, also growing up Christian, I was taught the same thing, and I was constantly scared of, like, everything, and I was like, how stupid is that? but it's comforting to think that everything has its own, like, spiritual energy and whatnot, and there's no possible way all of it is evil, because, like, this rock outside my door is not evil. It is a rock. It is sitting there. It is doing rock things. So therefore, it can't all be evil. So it's just been comforting for me transitioning away from that, like, point of view.
You were talking about, like, this whole spirituality of your culture and stuff. And I feel like that's very, like, people-bound. And what I mean by that is, like, native-bound. Like, people bound to their native heritage or land that wasn't, like, Anglo-Saxon. That was a very common, like, theme for them. Now, I'm basing that off of knowledge from, like, Disney a little bit and, like, some research I've done. But, as you know, Disney has the movie Pocahontas. Mm-hmm. And there's that scene when she's singing with John Smith, where she talks about every rock and tree and creature has a life, has a spirit, has a name. And I have the clip.
I'm gonna get flagged.
I'm just gonna show a second of it. A second.
They will definitely flag us.
Why?
Because here. We can't play it.
It's public.
It's public. Not public. It's owned by Disney.
But it's on YouTube.
It doesn't matter. You see, it says Disney right there at the bottom. Disney
sing along. Okay, well, I'm just gonna play a clip of it. Like, oh, just this part. Here we go.
But I know every rock and tree and creature has a life, has a spirit, has a name.
Okay, that's it.
But yeah, actually, you'll see that same thought or way of thinking across a lot of different indigenous and like, yeah, a lot of different, there's got to be another word for that, right?
I think indigenous is appropriate.
Yeah, non-Western, let's say non-Western cultures, most of them are like land-based religions, very similar to paganism, as you would define it, but like witch stuff. I don't know too much about it, but there are a lot of similar beliefs in that, and that's why when places have in the past been like colonized, they'll be like, oh, you have evil witch beliefs, stop that. Let's go ahead and take a break really quick, and sure. Then we'll come back and just wrap everything up.
Alrighty.
Like I mentioned like 20 times, today is Halloween. So, Lamont, what is your favorite candy? Do you like candy?
I like candy. I don't think I have a favorite, but when I was a child, I could never get enough of cookies and cream. Like, it was so delicious.
I don't like candy anymore, which makes me sad because oh my God. So much.
You did love chocolate.
Seriously, like, but I...
On the Lamont Leia show, it was a gimmick, but you did love chocolate.
Yes. but, like, in terms of, like, candy, I don't really eat it anymore. I used to go ham for Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Oh! Oh! So good!
But, like, I don't think they're good anymore.
I feel like they changed the recipe.
I do too. So I feel like a few years ago, companies were trying to cut back on, cost. So they started using high fructose corn syrup. And number one, that stuff is crap for your body.
It is.
So like, I just don't eat anything that has that in general. And it bothers me when I eat something that has it, because that's all I'm thinking about. I'm like, oh my gosh. But I feel like it changed the taste of everything. Like it's not the same. But I do love candy canes. Wrong season, I know, but I love candy canes.
This is Halloween. Anyways, no, what was I gonna tell you? Either they changed the recipe or our taste buds changed, right?
Yeah.
7 years. But mm-hmm. I think they changed the recipe because I remember like the cookie crisp cereal being bomb, mm-hmm. and Flintstones being bomb, and Life cereal being bomb, and like it doesn't, none of that stuff tastes the same.
That's true. Ooh, I also love Twix and Snickers, like still love them, but I can't eat a whole one. So like my favorite part about Halloween is that the mini fun size ones come around and I'm excited because I'm like, that's the perfect little amount.
I like it too. It's very good and yummy. But again, it tasted way different, like so much better when I was a child than it does now.
Yeah, I could eat a whole freaking Snickers bar when I was a kid. Oh, easy. You're just like, la, la.
We should do that one, like do a comparison, like, what were the ingredients in 1990 something? And what are the ingredients?
Right. I just don't know how we would find a 1990 something Snickers bar. Yeah, that was it. That was my whole activity for today.
Happy Halloween! Today's life lesson is get in touch with nature. This October, get in touch with nature. Nature is so much a part of us. Maybe you don't enjoy nature, but connecting with it even a little bit can help restore a part deep down inside us. And that is today's life lesson. This has been the Lamont and Leia podcast.
Created by Lamont Damon and Leia Nakahiki.
And this episode was edited by Leia Nakahiki.
Special thanks to Ingenue for our music.
Let us know what you thought about our show or give us some topic suggestions by sending us a message on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube.
Did you just say YouTube? That just reminded me, we have a YouTube channel. You can watch all of our podcasts there. Make sure you check out the links in our show description.
And as always, thank you for listening.